everybody. Welcome back to the Till Meets Lit podcast. I'm Logan. I'm here with Andrew and Nigel. We're coming to you with our week 7 predictions. And as always, how are you guys doing today, Andrew and Nigel? Not too upset by anything political?
No, never.
You know, sometimes you just gotta fiddle while the city burns.
All right. I'm not touching that one. All right, fair enough. So Tommy can't be here, but he did send me all of the picks he's got. So we're going to kick it off right now with Nebraska at Indiana. Nebraska is undefeated in the Big Ten. Is it the West? They're not still calling it like the Heroes and Legends thing, are they?
Yeah, it's East and West now.
Okay. So it's Nebraska's the undefeated team in the West right now. They're going on the road to Indiana, and Indiana has not performed maybe as well as they had thought, but they've done very well, been very competitive in most of their games. They kind of hung with Ohio State until the fourth quarter last week. Then they kind of fell apart. So they're hoping to get an upset here, and Nebraska, of course, looking to stay undefeated. Is this another one of those corn rivalries? Do they grow corn in Indiana?
Maybe, but I don't think it's what Indiana's really known for.
That's kind of what I thought. Well, since you're already talking, Andrew, why don't you go ahead and tell us, who do you have in this matchup?
You know, I think Mike Riley's kind of got it rolling at Nebraska. You know, they're undefeated. Their best win's over an Oregon team that we've really kind of started to question and fallen apart. You know, but the other thing is, Indiana's somewhat learned how to play defense this year. You know, that was their big problem last year, is they could score 60 points a game, but they'd lose 65-60. And they've started to, on some level, play defense. You look at the numbers from the Ohio State game, and the second quarter got away from them, but, you know, the Indiana defense performed fairly admirably in that game. Now, unfortunately, I think that they're not going to be really able to do much against Nebraska. I think it's going to be kind of the same Ohio State game where they keep it close, but Nebraska always looks the better team with a chance to win. It's a 4-point spread. You know, Nebraska may cover it if they win by a touchdown, but I think this game's going to be fairly close with Nebraska just pulling it out at the end.
All right. Nigel.
No, first, color me surprised that Nebraska was ranked number 10. When I saw that, I was like, why didn't I see this earlier in the year? And like you said, Logan, they're undefeated so far this season. I agree with Andrew. I think Nebraska just is right in the mix. I think everything that wasn't going their way last year is going their way this year. And they're seizing those opportunities and kind of bring the whole team together. I think the year started off not so well for them. Obviously, they were one of the teams that lost a key special team member. And, you know, we saw those demonstrations kind of early in the year. And I think that's kind of gotten the team together. That's kind of galvanized them to make this a really special season. And, you know, especially in Mike Riley's second year, he's kind of got more of his players in place. He's kind of got the systems down. And I think that that team has just kind of gathered around Sam Folds and kind of the memory of him and really move forward this season to do the right things. I think that they're clicking on offense and defense. They know who they are. They're, you know, have an established leader at quarterback, and I think all those things are just coming together for them. So I think Nebraska is going to get this win.
All right. Let's see. Tommy is also picking Nebraska. He didn't give me a reason for it, so I'm going to assume it's because he likes corn. I'm picking Nebraska. The simple fact is that I was looking at the stats earlier this week, and in pretty much every major category, offensively and defensively, Nebraska has a clear edge against Indiana. And I think, you can argue Indiana has played actually a tougher schedule because they played Ohio State and Nebraska's played only Oregon, I think, is their toughest team. But that said, I would still give the edge to Nebraska. The only thing Indiana I see has going for them is the fact that they're at home. So barring a bunch of unusual turnovers on Nebraska's part, I think they win this one pretty handily. So we are all going with Nebraska. All right. Next up, we got UNC going on the road to Miami. So these are two teams who are both looking to put last week behind them. UNC really got it taken to them in that hurricane last week, and that's going to be on their mind as they're going to play against the Hurricanes this week. And, of course, we talked about it earlier. Miami lost on the blocked extra point in a game that they probably felt like they should have at least gone to overtime, giving them a chance to win. So there's going to be a lot weighing on these guys' minds as they go into this game. And I think a lot to prove at the end of the day, considering how important this game will be in determining the winner of the ACC Coastal. So, Andrew, I'm going to pass it over to you. Who do you have?
You know, the thing we have to remember about North Carolina last week is that they played in a hurricane, and they uncharacteristically turned the ball over. They've been pretty good all season not turning the ball over. And I think playing in Miami, where hopefully the weather will be a lot better, will definitely help them out. You know, the big question to me is if Elijah Hood plays for North Carolina or not. He's a big part of that run game. And I think that, as well as, unfortunately, and from what I've seen, I think Larry Fedora has gotten a little too enamored and too in love with throwing the ball. And it can work because they've got weapons at Carolina, but a lot of times they get away from establishing the run, where they actually do a pretty good job and get some yards and are able to run the ball fairly well, but they seem to run away from it quickly. You know, it's a 9-point spread. I think Carolina covers, because I think this game is going to be really close. You know, it'll be interesting to see how Brad Kaya plays coming off the injury against Florida State. You know, obviously we saw the Miami defense is got talent and can play. But, you know, I think that North Carolina is going to rebound pretty well. If Elijah Hood plays and they're able to establish the run game somewhat, I could see Carolina winning this game.
Okay. So should I just mark you as UNC to win that one, or are you just saying to cover the 9-point spread? I mean, I don't want to put you on edge. I can't see your camera. I'm assuming you've got a knife to your throat. So if you need, I can just put you down as UNC.
No, I think Carolina's going to win it. I think that they're going to rebound well, and I think Mitch Trubisky's going to be able to throw the ball not in a driving rainstorm.
Fair enough. All right, Nigel.
You know, I agree with Andrew that, you know, UNC definitely had some things going against them. But I think the difference, and I'm thinking back to, you know, UNC's previous loss this season, I think they have trouble with really athletic defenses. And we saw that with Georgia. We saw that, you know, obviously Georgia was helped by a little bit of the bad decision-making by the UNC quarterback. But I think Virginia Tech is an athletic defense, and I think Miami has an athletic defense. And I think that's going to be some of the difference here, where I feel like Miami, even if Brad Kaya doesn't come back 100%, I think if you can make just enough throws to keep them in the game, I think that'll be enough, because Miami has made it paramount under Mark Richt that they're going to run the ball constantly. And I think that's going to shorten the game. That's going to keep that defense rested. And I think that defense is going to be able to attack UNC and stop the run, even if Elijah Hood is in the game. I think Miami's going to get this win and definitely put themselves in the driver's seat in the Coastal.
Yeah. So Andrew did point out a very important factor. UNC was playing in a hurricane last week, and also the team they were playing against in Virginia Tech has a advantage, at least statistically, in the run game and defensively when they play. And that's a big thing going into a hurricane. That said, I think Miami's got advantages in those same areas. So what we're going to see is if UNC was really affected by the hurricane and they can come back and bounce back and perform in good, you know, nice Miami weather, I think they've got a serious shot at winning this. From my perspective, though, Miami just played too well last week. They're at home. They've got a lot riding on them, and obviously they've got a crazy fan base, to say the least. It's a tough place to win in, and I'm sorry, I don't see UNC pulling it out. You know, I'm trying to make as many of excuses as possible, so that Elizabeth won't like kick me out when I come up there in a couple of weeks. Tommy has UNC. He gave me no reason for this whatsoever. I think he just doesn't like Mark Richt right now. So, yeah, let's go with that. Anyway, we're going to move on. Next up, our game, Georgia Southern at Georgia Tech. What do I need to say? Georgia Tech has been on a pretty bad losing streak. They're going to look to bounce back. Georgia Southern is still, though, a very good team, despite not necessarily being it at the same level many consider as Georgia Tech. Currently, the FPI is giving Georgia Tech an 82.4% chance of winning. I don't know that I agree with that, but I want to hear what you guys think. So, Nigel, who do you have?
I could go into some heavy debate. First, I'm picking GT to win. And I'm saying GT is going to win. My general summation is we can't afford to lose this game. And that's it. We just can't afford to lose this game. Because I refuse to allow every Georgia Southern fan in the state to never let it go.
And you know that's what will happen. Like, oh my gosh. We will never live it down if we lose this game.
So, Tabal Johnson, please save us from that outcome. You must save us from it.
You think that'll be bad for you? I'm in freaking Augusta. I'm only like an hour away from that campus. All right, Andrew, what are your thoughts?
You know, this is a game that sets up kind of like the game last week. Both Georgia Tech and Georgia Southern really want to run the ball and establish the run. You know, the big question is going to be, can that Georgia Tech defense step up and stop Georgia Southern like they weren't really able to do with Pitt? I think the Georgia Tech offense is going to be able to move the ball, probably going to be able to score some points. You know, the big question is the execution going to be there, or are we going to see the same kind of mental errors and busts that we've seen in other games? I think if Tech comes out flying like they did, say, against Mercer or against Vanderbilt, where the offense is clicking, guys are making plays, you're getting blocks on the perimeter, I think Georgia Tech can win it going away. You know, if Tech comes out on offense and stutters and isn't able to move the ball and makes mistakes, then it'll probably be pretty close. It's a game where Georgia Tech should win, and I think Georgia Tech's going to win. I think the big thing is Tech needs the win here to go into the bye week at 4-3 before setting up the stretch run for the season.
Okay, and Tommy did give me his pick. He said he would elaborate, but all he said was he's picking Southern over Georgia Tech. So that still doesn't give me a lot to go on. I guess he's just fed up with the way Georgia Tech is playing, and honestly, I can't blame him. As far as my decision goes, statistically, Georgia Southern has a small advantage on both offense and defense compared to Tech. That said, they do play at a lower level. Regardless of any of that, and regardless of the FPI, you know, the projections giving us an 82.4% chance of winning, I don't care. I've stated my case for the past 3 weeks. I'm staying on this ship, you know, regardless of how far down this sea it goes, regardless of how much on fire it is, regardless of how many snakes and piranhas and other stuff I run into, till it hits bottom, I'm staying on this ship. So, Georgia Tech, please. Don't make me regret this. Can we at least get a bowl game? Like, God, we need to win this game. All right. Next up, I laugh to hide my sorrow. West Virginia at Texas Tech. So, you know what the deal is. It's the Big 12. It's a shootout. Both these teams just kind of go at each other and score like there is no tomorrow. Honestly, the best thing I can say about this game is there wasn't a lot to talk about this week, so this was kind of an influential game. It would have been an influential game in the Big 12 if they had divisions, but sadly they don't. Nigel, West Virginia, Texas Tech, who you got?
This was a toughie, actually. That's what I was like, I don't know why he put this game on there, if it was just something in his heart of hearts that he felt like this was necessary. To put on there, but now you're saying that you just need a filler team. I understand why. Texas Tech can straight out score points. For some reason, West Virginia has not been able to be their usual dynamic self, and you know it's crazy because they're, you know, the quarterback play has been pretty decent. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about where they picked up the quarterback, him being a preferred kind of walk on, and kind of starting his college pro career. I can't remember where they said he was working at some fast food place, but they've won some close games. So if it comes down to a close game, I think West Virginia will win it just because they seem to be able to pull these games out. But for me, you know, Texas Tech, they, like, stealing Andrew's words again, they can't seem to stop anybody. So it doesn't matter if you can score 60 points, you allow your opponent to score 65. I think West Virginia is going to get this game. I think the reason that they've been in such close games is they like to make them defense. They make them like, we'll be able to run the ball, and they like to kind of lean on their defense a little bit. So I'm going to go with West Virginia in this game.
All right, Andrew.
It's 1,500 miles from Morgantown, West Virginia, to Lubbock, Texas. That's a long way to go. And that's going to be a long, sad flight home when the Fighting Cliff Kingsburys win 65-60.
Is that your story?
This is 100% a defense need not apply game.
Okay.
You know, West Virginia's defense is statistically better, but only barely. Yeah. The difference is West Virginia's defense isn't giving up the amount of points that Texas Tech's defense is. The other side of that, though, is Texas Tech is outscoring West Virginia on a per-game average of about 25 points.
This is true.
I'm glad.
That's the thing. It's just like, Texas Tech, they just can't stop anybody. Every time you want them to, this happens every year. They just don't stop people.
Well, I guess the difference being that West Virginia is theoretically a bend-don't-break offense, but I'm glad, by the way, Andrew, I'm glad you brought up the statistics because I was going to read them off. Neither of these teams are very good at defense. West Virginia gives up 418.5 yards per game. Texas Tech gives up 445. And as Andrew pointed out, the difference in scoring, which I guess means that West Virginia has a better red zone defense in some aspect. But Texas Tech, like you said, 25 extra points per game. They have 150 extra yards of offense on average per game. They have home field advantage, a ridiculous home field advantage. I can't not take Texas Tech. That said, I'm taking Texas Tech. Tommy is taking West Virginia. Again, he gives no reason for this. I think he just wants to see some couches burn. So that's I'm trying to make some stuff up here, Tommy. Apologize. All right. Next up, Ole Miss at Arkansas. So Ole Miss is praying that Bama will drop some games somewhere along the way and keep them relevant. Arkansas just came off of a loss against, you know, the Tide. Got their asses – let's not say that they got their asses kicked. They stayed competitive. They still lost by a pretty sizable amount. But their quarterback showed some serious talent out there around the end. Just they kind of let it get away too early for them to really come back. Ole Miss at Arkansas. Andrew, I'll start with you. Who do you got?
I think Ole Miss wins it. You know, Arkansas is a good team. They play defense. Like I said, I think Austin Allen is a very underrated, talented quarterback that just doesn't have a very good offensive line. You know, I think Ole Miss has just got the talent on offense with Chad Kelly and some of the other weapons that they bring around. And outside of, you know, and they've had leads. You know, Ole Miss is a team that can get out to a lead and then collapse with the best of them. So I think that's going to be the big question is if Ole Miss gets out to that lead, are they able to hold on and keep fighting and beat what I think is that is going to be a resilient, got some talent Arkansas team. I just, you know, the offensive line at Arkansas didn't look very good, but that's going to happen when you play Alabama anyway. So, you know, Ole Miss scores more, and the defenses are roughly push. So I think Ole Miss is going to be able to win it. You know, it's an 8-point spread. I think it might be a little closer than that, but I do think Ole Miss wins the game.
Fair enough. Nigel, are you staying with the Rebels?
I agree with Andrew. I think Ole Miss is just going to be able to do, you know, more on offense is going to be the difference here. I think Chad Kelly has proven himself to be just a pretty – damn good quarterback, probably the best in the SEC and from my vantage point. So I think with that being kind of the difference maker, and like you said, the defenses are kind of a wash. So I think just with the offensive continuity that they have, I think that's going to be the difference that Ole Miss gets to win.
Yeah. So Tommy and I are both picking Ole Miss, and since he didn't give me a reason, I'm just going to put my reason in for him. I'm not putting any real thought into this. Ole Miss, in my mind, is a better team. They're coming off of a bye week. I just don't see them losing in this game. In fact, unless Arkansas does something that really surprises me, I think they'll probably win by two scores or more. That's just the bottom line. Like you said, Andrew, they have been known to drop some leads, but we haven't really seen them do that this year, and the worst struggle they've had was against Bama.
They've done it twice. They had a 21-point lead against Florida State and lost. They had a 21-point lead against Alabama and lost.
Yep.
Let's see. They had a lead against Bama?
Yeah, they came out of the gate firing against Alabama and then just fell apart.
For some reason, I must have blocked that from my memory. The thing with Florida State, and I was pretty sure with Florida State they had like a 17-point lead before Florida State finally got on the board. But yeah, I knew they blew that one. But that was just because Florida State was ridiculous. I don't see Arkansas playing at the same level as those teams.
At one time in the Ole Miss Alabama game, it was 24-3 Ole Miss.
Yep. Again, blocked it from my memory. That is what we do. If we say Roll Tide enough, it just kind of disappears into the background. All right, anyway, so yeah. Regardless, pick an Ole Miss. Tommy and I and everybody else pick an Ole Miss. All right, next up, Ohio State at Wisconsin. So Wisconsin's pulled out some serious surprises this year. And Ohio State is kind of looking, I think, if you're not picking Michigan as the top team in the Big Ten, you have to pick Ohio State because they just look so sharp. They haven't really had any challenges so far. Even the game against Oklahoma was pretty much a blowout. Wisconsin, they're going to have this game at home. And I think they're going to have their eyes on a big upset to make a statement. But it'll have to be a really well-played game by Wisconsin. Andrew, who do you have in this matchup?
You know, Ohio State showed some chinks in their armor last weekend against Indiana. You know, the Indiana, much maligned Indiana defense, was able to contain them fairly well, and JT Barrett just had a poor, poor game. Yeah. You know, that's going to be the question is, can he rebound against what's turned out to be a very good Wisconsin defense that no one really saw coming, having lost their coordinator and having lost some big guys. You know, this game's at night in Camp Randall, in Madison, game day's there. I mean, it's a national stage. You know, Ohio State's a 10-point favorite. I think that's insane. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it'll be a tough-fought game, but I just think Ohio State's got the weapons to score the points they need to beat Wisconsin.
Okay. I mean, they do very well in the public eye. So, Nigel.
No, I agree with Andrew a little bit on this one that, you know, just JT Barrett did not have his best game. Their only loss is to Michigan. Michigan beat them 14-7. This is the same Michigan team that we just saw put up 70 on Rutgers. So we know Michigan can score. So for this Wisconsin defense, they are definitely the real deal. They're top five scoring defense with points against. They have beat, you know, pretty much everyone that they should have by a handily margin. Obviously, Georgia State gave them a few issues, and LSU was a hard team just to face off against. But I think that their calling card is their defense. They're also a pretty good defense in terms of actually turning those turnovers almost instantaneously into points. You know what they're going to want to do. They're going to want to run the ball. They actually have a quarterback that is, you know, pretty confident this season and can – get them going. I think the issue will be with Corey Clemens. Will he actually be able to get a decent yard per carry? He just hasn't been able to get off in terms of explosiveness this season. And I think part of that is just coming back from an injury. I'm actually going to pick Wisconsin on the upset. I think Ohio State has overall better talent, but just with Andrew, agreeing with Andrew, being in Madison, a night game, they're going to run the ball, make the game really short. And I think they have the defense to give Ohio State fits.
So you agree with all of Andrew's points, but you just think that Wisconsin, which is, yeah, I guess it is kind of weird. You point out these positives and then you picked Ohio State, Andrew. It's kind of weird.
I just think the defense is going to be the difference maker here. I mean, they took I mean, people are going to say, well, Ohio State has an explosive, you know, offense. I think Michigan is on par with Ohio State in terms of offense, and they, you know, it was just a few things that go their way against Michigan. I think the difference will be with that extra week for them to be able to allow them to get Ohio State.
Fair enough. So Tommy's picking Ohio State. I am also picking Ohio State, and this is nothing against Wisconsin. I think they're a good team. I just, especially with their wins against LSU and Michigan State, but if you've looked at what's happened to those teams after they lost to Wisconsin, you kind of get disillusioned by those kind of performances. They did do very well on defense against Michigan, but Ohio State's, like, if I look at the talent level, Ohio State's just too good. I got to go with the eyeball test, and I'm going to take Ohio State. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, as they have so many times before. Kind of hoping they do, but until then, I'm taking Ohio State. All right, guys. So now we're to our personal picks. Nigel, do you want to go ahead and start us off?
Yeah, I'm going to actually, my pick is going to be BYU over Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State has just not been the same team. There's their Lord and Savior, Dak Prescott, is off in the NFL doing big things, helping the Dallas Cowboys become an actual relevant team. So I know Barbie's happy about that. But it just hasn't been the same. They, you know, have not looked as solid on offense, and that's usually their calling card, and just not been able to be, you know, like I said, generally be the same team. I think BYU, they hadn't lost their quarterback yet, Taysom Hill, and that's always the difference for them. So I think, you know, he'll be able to pull out the stops for them and get them another solid win.
All right. Andrew, who do you have?
My game for the week is Arizona State at Colorado. Both of these teams have one loss in the conference and are currently sitting at the top of the conference with Utah. You know, Colorado had a tough loss to USC last week in a game that they were in, and I think they showed very well. You know, the only question for me is Colorado at quarterback, if it's going to be Steven Montez or Sifo Liufau. Nailed it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, Montez has played well for them since Liufau's been injured, but he believed Liufau's coming off his injury and played a little bit late in that USC game. Both of the guys have been effective at running the offense at Colorado. The defense has played well and definitely has gotten better stops and been better than Arizona State's defense. It's a 14-point spread. I think Arizona State covers. I think the teams are well matched. But I think being at home in a big game that will go a long way to putting them in the driver's seat for the South, I think Colorado is going to win this game and really keep that momentum rolling to this being a great season for them.
So, wait, am I? No, okay. I, for a second, I was like, this has been 4 weeks in a row that he's picked Colorado in some game.
I think
game.
It's just two weeks.
I thought it was three because you picked them against Oregon State, then you picked them against USC, and then you picked them here.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. It has been 3 weeks.
Yeah. But anyway. All right. Sticking with
it. Maybe I'm just all on that Ralphie train.
I mean,
you're on something and you're riding it hard.
I mean, everyone knows what's legal in Colorado now.
Legalized. Oh. All right. So Tommy gave me a big list of games that I could potentially pick for him for his personal matchup. Again, he didn't give me any reasoning. I'm going to pick his matchup as being Notre Dame over Stanford. This game intrigues me because this is like two teams that we were expecting so much out of at the beginning of the year and have just kind of dissipated significantly. And maybe it's just that Stanford can't play teams from the state of Washington, but, Notre Dame really has no excuse. Honestly, I was surprised to see that Tommy was picking Notre Dame, but I did see one of his other notes that says, I have given up on the McCaffrey train, and I'm guessing that that's probably the reason why he just doesn't believe in Stanford at this point. But anyway, so Tommy picking Notre Dame over Stanford. My personal game is going to be Northwestern at Michigan State. And I've looked at this over. They have this. Who would have expected at this point in the year that both these teams would have the same record, and that that record would be 2-3? They're very similar stats coming out of both teams, and I'm taking Michigan State, and that's purely because they have home field advantage. Both of these teams are not as good as we were hoping they would be, but I gotta believe that Michigan State will pull this one out to kind of recover their season. They've got to make some serious changes to get to a bowl game this year the way they've been playing. All right. So with that said, we're going to move on. The only thing that makes this easier for me is the fact that it does feature Alabama, but we have featured Tennessee as our primetime matchup 3 weeks in a row now. I'm getting a little sick of it. Anyway, Alabama at Tennessee. This is the third Saturday in October, although some of you may not believe it, considering we're only, technically, 15 days into October at that point? But hey, Bama, what else is there to say? They are undefeated. They just came off of whooping Arkansas on the road. This is a big matchup for them. This is probably, at this point, they've got two games highlighted. This is the one, and then the next one will be against Texas A&M. And for Tennessee, for everything that's left in their schedule, this might as well be their season up until the SEC championship. They really want to win this game and finally get that demon off their back that has been Bama, who's just kind of rolled over them for the past, I don't know the exact timeline. It's been quite a while since they've won one. All right. I could hype this up all day. Nigel, who are you taking?
I'm going to take Alabama. Logan, I know this is going to make you happy. I think Tennessee the general thing that stands out for me, and Tommy made mention of it, Tennessee turns the ball over way too much. They have lost the turnover battle consistently this year. They turn the ball over way too much against teams that don't have Alabama's defense, and I think that's going to be the difference maker, because you have to execute a very fine-tuned game plan, and Joshua Dobbs is just not routinely not made good decision had good decision making this season, where he's thrown across his body, he's thrown in double coverage routinely, and I just think that will be the difference. Not just even the offensive side of Alabama. I think their defense and special teams are going to make all the difference this game.
All right. Andrew.
Alabama wins and they cover the 13-point spread.
Any particular, other than the fact that they're Alabama, any particular reason for that?
They have 7 defensive or special teams touchdowns. This may be, and I've said it before, the most talented defense Nick Saban has had at Alabama, and that's saying a lot given what he's had. I think the extra dimension that Jalen Hurts brings, who's had a fantastic year as a true freshman, and even Lane Kiffin has done a great job of utilizing him and those weapons. And I think Tennessee coming off the loss, yeah, they fought hard, but Alabama is a different monster. Nick Saban is who he is and does such an amazing job of having his teams ready. And, it's in Neyland, which is obviously a big place to go, but Alabama thrives on that. And I think that this is just a year that there's no one really on the schedule that's going to be able to have the horses to keep up with them.
Fair enough. Tommy, for the record, has picked Alabama, and I think it kind of matches up with all the stuff that y'all just said. It also probably has a factor to do with he's picking pretty much every road team this week. I don't really understand his logic there, but he has picked like every team on the road this week to win. And I've got a huge list here, and it's like pretty much all of them. Anyway, my pick is going to be as Bama as well. And it's not because I'm a fan. I've picked against them before in big matchups like this. It's because Tennessee is just sloppy, and I think y'all kind of got this feeling from me when I got into that rant at the start of our other podcast for the week. Like, Tennessee, you know, they had 7 turnovers in that game. But if you really look at the way they've been playing, it's just been sloppy. Like, if you actually watch that game, they would go for a 70-yard run and then have the guy bump into somebody, and because he was carrying the ball in one arm when he made contact, the ball would just fly out, and then suddenly Texas A&M would recover the ball on the 5. You can't do that kind of stuff against Alabama. That's just stupid, and it's basic stuff. And they're just making – it seems like they've been making the assumption that, well, because we never give up and we're willing to keep fighting, like, we can always come back. And that's great. It's worked for them up until the Texas A&M game. But, you know, part of the reason that they have that tenacity is because they have to keep fighting, because they keep putting themselves in worse and worse situations. It's kind of mind-blowing to me that a team like that has a record as well as they do. I mean, maybe, Nigel, maybe that was why you bet against them early on in the year. I don't know, but it's like, for all the talent they have, they shouldn't be making mistakes like that. Bama's going to win. It, in my opinion, it's not going to be close. Like, I think I put down 10 points whenever I wrote these notes down, but hell, I think it'll be more than that. It'll be a blowout. All right. And that's all there is to say about that. So, Andrew, Nigel, thanks as always for joining us. And to all our listeners, thanks for tuning in. You can, as always, you can check out our site at toemeetsleather.net for more posts and interesting factoids. Until then, have a good rest of your week. Bye-bye.